about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, okay, because we were counting on another week, but let's just get our mics on, guys. Here's the damn show you asked for.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's www.facebook.com/rotrkroq. R-O-T-R-K-R-O-Q. That's www.facebook.com/rotrkroq.
I mean, how do you come up with this stuff? Where does this come from? Why?
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
And the legend continues.
Which is cool.
And now,
I can totally see that on all your shirts. That's the only good part about this.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday, the 2nd of November. Ladies.
Bean.
What's going on?
Take me out to the ball game.
Indeed.
Take me out to the ball. I don't care if I'm...
Mamba.
Has never come back or is
Yeah.
There you go.
They don't win, it's a
shame. Just say one quietly.
Why is 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the ball game. Let's go, Cubbies!
Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen. Look, people mocked, but the Cubs, you know, he was the wind beneath the Cubs' wings, apparently, because they're still in it. They're improbably coming back to tie this thing up after being down 3-1. Maybe all due to Scottie Pippen. You don't know, man.
I think the Cubs would fight you on that.
You don't know how the baseball gods work.
I do not. I do not.
It's been a very exciting series, hasn't it?
It really has.
Really has been great.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And I know many will be happy that today's the last day for baseball for a few months, but I'm going to be sad to see it go, that's for sure. Anyway, got a lot of show for you today. We are monkey-free. Kevin is out. He's fine. He'll be back.
He will?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I want to start with this story, and I think it's true. It's as verified as something out of China can be, but I want to get you guys' take on it. Mm-hmm. There's a woman who has made quite a name for herself. She goes by the name Proud. You have to forgive me. I'm not fluent in Chinese.
Well, it's a problem.
Proud Kiaba is probably not at all how it's pronounced. Anyway, she is in the news right now because she posted on social media that she got 20 iPhones from different men, her boyfriends in quotes, as she puts it, 20 iPhones. In other words, my guess is, and I would love a deeper dive on this, is that she has relationships with these men on social media, and she's probably young and very pretty and probably was able to bat her eyelashes and talk them into buying her things.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she got 20 iPhones, 20 different men, each giving her an iPhone 7, which apparently is very popular in China, and it was just released there September 16th. They're very hard to find, so they are in great demand. Then she turned around and sold those iPhones to a company that resells them, a phone recycling site.
Okay.
So she got free iPhones from 20 men, turned around and resold them for $850 per iPhone.
Wow.
Making a total of $17,000 that she then used to put a down payment on her first home.
Good for her.
Yes.
So she is being cheered in many parts of the world for being a really smart businesswoman.
Savvy, yeah.
Very savvy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other people who say how awful she is for doing something like that. Some are jealous. I can't even find one boyfriend, a woman said. She could actually find 20 boyfriends at the same time and even get them to buy her an iPhone 7. I want her to teach me such skills, she said. But
maybe that's
saying,
her next business.
Yeah. I mean, I've got 25 iPhones. Should I sell
them? Very good, yeah.
Very impressive, Chip. Others are saying that she is a shameless person for taking advantage of these men because clearly she doesn't have a romantic relationship with 20 men. She's just using them to get free stuff. So I'm curious what you ladies think about this. Do you look at her and go, thumbs up? Or do you go, wow, that seems icky?
Are these men, is there a gun to their head? And she's saying, I need these iPhones or I will kill you?
It is unclear if that is the strategy.
Yeah.
I am guessing no.
I think they're probably getting something out of this, whether they believe she's, you know, their girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Men just don't send you something out of the goodness of their heart. They think they're getting something. So come on.
Okay, how about, and again, we're speculating now because we don't have access to see what those relationships were like. How about if each of them thinks they're the only one? How about if she's just straight up lying to them about their relationship and being exclusive, and they have no idea that she's doing that in the next chat room 5 minutes from now?
Let's see. She's in chat rooms. She's not meeting these guys.
Well, again, very few details on the specifics, but it sounds to me like they're on the internet. It sounds to me like these are guys that she's talked into giving her stuff on the internet.
If you're on the internet and you think you're in a relationship with somebody that you're just emailing with or Skyping with, the onus is on you. Sorry.
Okay. So you're saying the guys are just dumbasses for sending her a phone, probably.
Yeah.
And more power to her for manipulating them.
Is she manipulating them?
Well, I think she is.
By accepting a phone?
Yes. I think she's manipulated. If she doesn't have a relationship with these guys,
then why are they sending it?
Because they probably want to have a relationship with
her. Then that's on them. I'm not understanding how this is on her. If it's the same way if a guy promises a girl that they're in a relationship and she cooks him a meal, is she an idiot for cooking him a meal?
Well, but that's a real life in-person type thing. We're talking about internet boyfriends.
Which makes it more pathetic. So keep sending those phones.
Okay. So you're down with her.
Business empire.
And Chip, you're fine with what she did?
I wouldn't do it, but hey, if she's making the money and she, you know, just let her do it. It's fine.
Okay. Not for you, but fine for her.
Yeah.
By the way, buying a house. How about that?
What's going on in China?
That's a business
grand.
17 grand as a down payment doesn't seem like much, does it?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think if you're... Now I feel bad. Now I feel a little bad for these dudes.
Because of the broken hearts involved here.
But if they truly think they're in a relationship with someone that you've never met that you're just Skyping with, you got some issues anyway. Yeah.
Buyer beware.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fine with that. I didn't know, but I was impressed. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would or could do it, but I was impressed. So well done. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on is Great American Jerry Springer is back on the show. Do you know that his Jerry Springer show is still on the air?
But not new episodes.
Yes.
What?
Jerry's still doing that show. But he's always a lot of fun. He's a great guest, and I'm excited to talk to him today. We're going to talk to our friend Stryker, who does afternoons here on the world-famous K-Rock. Yesterday, if you heard yesterday's show, you know that Ralph has a skill where it sounds like he's talking backwards. It sounds like he's saying stuff backwards. As he explained, he's not really. He's just mimicking the sound of what that would be like. Stryker apparently really can talk backwards.
Really?
Now, if you're wigged out by the noises Ralph makes, Allie, what's it going to be like talking to a guy who's really talking backwards?
I'm going to head out for a bit.
We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock this morning. We have untold stories from the ER today. There's been a lot of stories in the news lately that have been pretty crazy things that have happened in emergency rooms around the world. And we're going to ask you to add your stories to those, too, because you really do see some of the best people in the world at an ER at 2 a.m.
Oh, God.
Those are some people you really do want to hang out with.
Nope.
So we'll talk about that. Apparently, some teachers in Britain are too sexy, and there's a training manual to help them tone it down a little bit.
Oh,
so they don't overexcite the students, because you know how it can be.
Sure,
right? Got a brand new Beans Death Corner on the show today, and the only thing that this presidential election cycle was lacking was a sex tape from one of the major candidates.
Oh, and God!
And it's possible now that there could be a sex tape.
I've never wanted a sex tape less of either person.
If you had to watch a sex tape from either Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton, Which one would you choose?
I'm going third party. Give me Gary Johnson.
Wrong.
All of that. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. That's coming up right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Blink 182 on the World Famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Now, that's the way to get started on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. That sounds good. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages. Stuff's going on. First, most importantly, don't you know our long national nightmare is finally over?
Oh.
Kim Kardashian is officially back on social media. I know many people were concerned after her robbery in Paris that she had dropped off of social media. She was not participating on her Twitter or an Instagram. And a lot of people were just wandering around the streets with a dazed look on their face, just not knowing what to do.
The sun went out.
Where to go?
Yeah, I was so confused as to how to live my life with no guidance from Kim.
Now, all is well. She has returned. So, go about your business. Look, spend money. Travel. If you don't get back to life as normal, then the Paris robbers win, right?
That's right.
What I've heard.
Okay. Rihanna, this is kind of nuts. This has got to be bogus. But according to OK Magazine, she is determined, now that he has split up from Angelina Jolie, to land Brad Pitt as her own. Sources say she's had a crush on him for years. And even managed to tick off Angelina when she performed at a concert for Brad's Make It Right charity back in 2012. There was a lot of flirting going on. And, wait for it, sources say she has a life-size portrait of him installed over her bed.
That's not true.
That is true, Bean. It's an OK magazine. And everything they say is OK.
Didn't realize it was sourced.
So there you go.
I feel like she would chew him up and spit him out.
You don't know, man.
Yeah, she would wreck him.
She's too much woman for Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Brad is fury, man. Straight up fury.
Is he?
Yeah. Drives a tank and stuff. And if you want to be rich, get into stand-up comedy. That is my recommendation to you. Amy Schumer, of course, started up as a stand-up, now a very popular actress, filmmaker. She just got herself a little home in Manhattan on the Upper West Side. A little five-bedroom, five-bath home. The top of a apartment complex there. Beautiful views of the Hudson River in New Jersey. It's just a gorgeous little piece of real estate. What do you think you're paying for a penthouse apartment in Manhattan's Upper West Side these days?
Upwards of $20
million. No, not that much.
Oh.
$12 million.
Really?
$12 million.
Oh, that's a steal.
It's an apartment.
It's New York.
It's an apartment.
It's New York City.
It's not a home. You don't get a lawn or a pool.
A five-bedroom in New York is a home.
It's not. It's
That's
an apartment.
That's a huge home.
You have to take an elevator to it. It's an apartment.
Apartment?
Apartment. Apartment.
How much? 12.5?
12.
12.
You'd take it, right?
Heck yeah.
If you'd known, you could have snapped it up first. And this is interesting casting. I think this will be fun. Modern Family has just cast Cameron's boyfriend before Mitchell.
Uh-oh.
Now, Cameron, of course, played by our buddy Eric Stone Street. We will meet his girl, his boyfriend before he met Mitchell and fell in love and they got married. But first of all, you know Cameron used to be a clown, right?
Yeah.
His ex-boyfriend is going to be a circus ringmaster named Keith.
I'm sorry? Named what?
Keefeth.
Keefeth?
It's Keith with an F. Keefeth.
Keefeth. All right.
K-E-I-F-T-H. Keefeth.
All right.
Already in.
Played by Kelsey Grammer. Grammer will be Cameron's former boyfriend. And
That's
really comes
great.
Back into the picture and makes Mitchell very unhappy, and I want to watch that episode now. And our buddy Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins is releasing his debut solo album. NME.com says it's called Coda, K-O-T-A, and comes out on November 11th. Taylor sings lead and plays just about every instrument on all the songs. The first single is called Range Rover Bitch. Range Rover Bitch.
Okay.
It's about a lot of ladies in L.A.
I guess so. No time here, but we'll play a little bit for you in the next hour.
Oh, I want to hear some of that.
Today's sure. Celebrity birthdays. Ring announcer Michael Buffer is 72. Let's...
Don't do it.
Oh, Why?
He'll sue.
Come on.
You know how he is.
It's his birthday.
But he'll sue.
But it's his birthday.
But he's the only one who's allowed to say those words.
Let's celebrate his birthday by giving him an homage.
He owns the words.
At 72.
Nope. He owns Rumble. He owns Get. He owns two. He can't use any of those words.
Don't
even do it. We can't afford it. The station's broke.
But how much is just let's? If I just do let's, what's it cost us?
He'll sue.
All right. David Schwimmer is 50. What can I not say about him? Does he have any trademarks?
Say whatever you want about him.
We were on a break. That was his big...
Juice. You got that.
Thanks for bringing it into this decade, Bean. I appreciate that.
Come on.
Nelly's 42.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
He has lost a step. And who made this birthday list? Is this from Allie?
Are there two great men on there?
Did you force Dave, the King of Mexico, to put these names on the list?
Don't know what you mean.
I know you said two. How would you know if you didn't put them on there that there's two Patriots on the list?
Two?
Danny Amendola and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Boom!
Yeah. Both celebrate their birthdays.
Both handsome as hell, right? Who's with me?
Just cross this off. No need. This happened right here. This big red line. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, Beyonce. And Coldplay on 106.7 K-Rock. It is K-R-O-Q. Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. So how many days left till the election, Ellie? It's like five or something?
I believe this time next week we should have a new president.
Oh, we're in the final.
But we may not. You never know.
We may not. Florida. Hey, don't F it up this time, Florida. Don't make this another one of those. We got to wait like 6 weeks to find out who wins the election, okay? America can't handle it again. Mm-mm. We can't. Ugh. Make it end, please. Look, we've already gotten past the October surprises, the 11-year-old tape from Billy Bush and Donald Trump, and then the Hillary Clinton email server, investigation reopening. I mean, it just seems like one surprise after another that is going to dramatically affect the election or not, depending on who you listen to, who you believe. It's a very close election. But here's the thing that may still – there are two things that may still come. One is apparently – Hillary killed a bunch of people.
What?
And I've heard a lot of people say that, and I think we're very close to getting the details to that together.
Just random people?
Oh, yeah.
Like grocery store clerks, that type of thing?
She's a serial killer.
Right.
She's a serial killer.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, we all know she and her husband killed all sorts of people that got in their way on the rise to power. But I'm talking about just going out and just knifing a guy in an alley. That's what I'm talking about. So, and that's just a rumor. I'm going to be honest. That's just a rumor. But apparently it's very close to being substantiated. So we may get that soon.
Okay.
Now, here's another one that is starting to pick up a little bit of steam that is also just a rumor. But a lot of people have been asking, hey, this relationship with Donald Trump and Russia seems to be pretty chummy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's unusual to see a guy who's a major party nominee basically invite a foreign government to hack into our emails and our computers and everything for intel. It's unusual. Why is he being so nice to Russia? What's this cozy relationship he has with Putin? Well, here's what some are saying, Ally McKay, that he is being blackmailed by the Russian government because they have a sex tape on him. A sex tape of Donald Trump in Russia, who was set up with and provided with everything he needed for his own orgy. And that he is now being blackmailed and he has no choice but to play along and play nice with Russia.
Of all people that would want that release to be like, yep, check me out. Come on.
Journalists and political operatives have rumored that Donald Trump got put into President Putin's pocket via participation in Russian orgies. We are talking about the possible existence of a Trump sex tape. There are multiple sources who say yes, although it has been whispers and gossip up till this point, there are those who say there are unnamed sources working in an unnamed intel agency who say that yes, the sex tape exists. And look,
this is where we're at.
This is where we're at. But why speculate when Donald Trump is the most honest, upright guy we've ever had run for office in this country? And he's kind enough to come on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's hear it right from the man himself. It's time for another Trump date.
He's a guy.
Sit down.
Donald J. Trump, the next president of the United States of America. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. How are you feeling so close to the election, sir?
So unbelievable. Look at all the polls.
Mm-hmm.
I have bounced back. I passed Crooked Hillary
yes.
in all the polls. and I will make America great again. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's what I do. I make things great.
That's what I've been told, yes. And it sounds like you're at another rally with lots of Trump supporters?
I am. I'm at a rally with many of my supporters.
Uh-huh.
And so many people come up to me all the time and say, Donald, you are the greatest. And we cannot wait for you to be our president.
Yes, you have heard that a lot, and you've mentioned that a lot, that people love you.
So many people. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and told me that so many people have come up to me. Amazing. Unbelievable.
A lot of people.
It's like people inside of people inside of people inside of people. They're like Russian nesting dolls.
Understood. Speaking of Russia, I'm sure you've heard the rumors by now that a lot of people say that you're a little too close to Vladimir Putin for a lot of people's taste.
I never met him. I don't know the guy.
Really?
Okay? I have never met Putin.
Oh.
He said some nice things about me. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
So he has good taste. That's all I'm saying.
Allie?
First of all, I'm hearing a lot of giggling back there. It sounds like a lot of ladies at your rally.
Well, women love me. What can I say?
Okay.
First of all, no one respects women more than I do.
You've said that.
And women love that about me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just here with some constituents that are women that
okay.
happen to be in the room at the time.
I see.
Нет, oh. Nadia, нет.
Whoa, hold on a second. No,
Peninsinki Vaginishka, okay?
Okay, I heard Vaginista.
And Peninsky.
I'm
don't
sorry,
speak Russian, but I feel like you just said something about a penis and a hoo-ha.
First of all, I don't speak Russian either, okay?
Okay.
Why would I speak Russian? That's ridiculous. I've never had anything to do with Russia.
Okay.
I don't know Putin.
No.
I don't know anything about... I don't even know where Russia is. I don't even know... I don't even eat Russian dressing, okay? I hate anything. I don't even hurry because I don't want to be Russian.
Okay, but you were just netting Nadia there. That's what confused me a little bit.
That was my campaign manager, Kellyanne Clarkson, or whoever it is.
Conway.
She won American Idol, too, right?
She did. Because one of the best people around me, and they're winners. That's what they do. They win everything.
Uh-huh.
They win American Idol. They win elections.
Okay, I'm just going to come out and ask that. It doesn't sound like you're in a battleground.
Okay.
Da, Nadia. Borscht in the hiney, okay? Great. I'm sorry, you were saying?
I think you just answered our question for us, Mr. Trump.
Oh, come on. Just because it's real doesn't make it true, okay?
Okay.
Wait. That's my motto.
What?
Jerry Springer on the show next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock and an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up in minutes. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Wednesday. When things become popular, there are some people who don't like it very much. Have you noticed that, Allie?
Hipsters.
Hipsters can be guilty of that sometimes. I mean, how many times have you heard, hey, I used to see that band when they played the Whiskey and now I hate that they're playing the Forum?
All the time.
Happens all the time. Well, it happens in sports, too. And Billy Corgan is interviewed in an article you can find at krock.com right now, where he is apparently being a whiny little bitch, as he is about so many other things, about other celebrity fans of his beloved Chicago Cubs.
Ah.
Now, he lives in Chicago, and he goes to a lot of Cubs games, and that's his team.
Okay.
And that's fine. But now that they're in the World Series and even leading up to the final days of the season and into the playoffs, now he's starting to see people he hasn't been seeing at games before and is asking questions like, where the hell was Bill Murray in June? Why did I not see Vince Vaughn until today? Hey, John Cusack, where you been, bud? And it's really upsetting him that these other celebrities are coming around now and pretending in his mind like they're big-time Cubs fans.
Okay. I can't believe I'm about to defend Billy Corgan.
All right.
But I will say this. When you have a fandom and you are so protective of them, especially a team like the Cubs, who hasn't won since, what, 1908?
That's right.
And you've been there and you've been cheering. That's yours, right? And then you have these yahoos that come in to get screen time when you've been there for the ups and the downs.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Because in 2012, when the Kings were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, my parents had season tickets to the Kings in 1968. 1938. We had them through the years where you couldn't pay people. You'd say, listen, we've got Forum Club passes. We've got free parking. No, why would I go see hockey? Mm-hmm. And then during the Stanley Cup final, you see all these celebs that are just, you know, living it up in the crowd. Ooh, I love hockey now. F you. Screw you.
But isn't it good for the team, though, to have as many people interested in it as possible? If you're really, in Billy Corgan's case, if you're a Cubs fan, you should love the fact that everybody on the street in Chicago is wearing a Cubs jersey now. Because
well, I think he's saying he loves real fans, but maybe he's calling out people that aren't real fans.
In other words, he thinks John Cusack is just there because what?
Because he's got, you know, the Chicago. He's from Chicago. He's got that whole thing. And then, oh, it's playoff time. I better get there. John Cusack was the one in a White Sox hat not long ago, right?
Oh, was he now?
Oh, yeah.
See, now, I didn't know that.
It caused quite a stir. Oh. And I love me some John Cusack, and I want him to be happy. You can't wear a White Sox hat, sir.
You can't do that and then turn around and be jumping up and down all over the TV during the
cannot.
Cubs World Series. All right. I was not buying what Billy Corgan was laying down until you just brought that up about John Cusack. He is not allowed in the stadium anymore.
Oh, wow.
He's not allowed to go to the games anymore.
Okay.
Mike Francesca, who is the inexplicably popular sports talk radio host.
He's the best.
Is he?
He is.
When he can stay awake long enough to finish his
during his show.
During the calls, he falls asleep sometimes. He was also annoyed by how much screen time these celebrities are getting on the broadcast from Fox. Now, I think we're talking about two different things here. Billy Corgan is complaining that he doesn't think these people are real Cubs fans.
Right.
They're just there because they're getting swept up in the hype of the postseason. It's a different thing than what Fox is doing, which is trying to put on an entertaining television broadcast. And maybe they feel that that makes it a better show for the people at home if they see Vince Vaughn in the crowd. But here's what Mike Francesca had to say about it.
The Cubs bring him out. You know, we have to look at, you know, what is supposed to be a, you know, terribly suffering John Cusack in some stupid outfit in the stands. Okay. Standing there and making sure that everyone sees him because he's standing in the aisle.
By the way, have you noticed that he does seem to be performing a one act play out there every time they show him on camera?
He is often wearing all black and he looks crazy.
He does seem like he's trying to call attention to himself, which is kind of weird. He's going beyond just being at the stadium and enjoying the game.
Right.
He seems to sort of be making it about him. I think that may be legitimate.
All right, where he's, you know, with some dumb hat. And I like John Cusack as an actor, but, I mean, standing in the aisle with some dumb hat on in the middle of the innings, you know, dying with every pitch. You know, or Bill Murray, or Vince Vaughn, or whoever it might be. You know, there's a million of them.
That's riveting radio right there. First
that
of all,
man is number one.
I know he's very popular. Look, here's my final thought on this, though. I don't think it's a competition about who is a bigger fan. Mm-hmm. I think you got to let that go. I think the Cubs want anybody who's interested in jumping on the bandwagon, no matter when they jump on the bandwagon. They want support. They want people to love them and want them to win. Right. I don't think it's a fight for who deserves to be there more.
I don't think it's a fight for who deserves to be there more, but it is a little bit of a punch in the gut for people that have been there since day one, have cheered them through the ups and downs, have taken the heat when they've lost and been so horrible, and have still gone to the games. And then you've got, again, some dude that wants to be on TV in the stands like, oh, no, I'm the biggest Cubs fan ever. And no!
Billy,
you don't
Corgan
get to do that.
Does give a pass, by the way, to those celebrities that he considers actual Cubs fans who are there in good times and bad, and he names Eddie Vedder and Jack White as people who you can see at the games anytime.
If you look at some pictures of Jack White in that crowd, he is miserable.
Yes,
like
he's very
any
sad.
Cubs fan should be. He
is
gets
very
a pass.
Sad. All right. Well, we'll see who's happiest tonight. Maybe the competition will be who could really go for it the most tonight if the Cubs win this thing. And if they don't, though, Billy Corgan will be the saddest Cubs fan in the world, right?
I mean, can he get sadder?
I don't know if he can. All right, thanks. Weezer on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys ready for some sweet, sweet death?
Yeah.
Hit it, Steve.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams, hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
It's It's actually, you know, the when I think about it, the opposite is true. I don't love death. I fear death. And that's why I'm I pay such close attention to how other people die, because I want to try to do everything I can to avoid what happened to them so it doesn't happen to me, because I plan to live to be 100. Why are you laughing about that?
Right.
First of all, I'm the healthiest man in the world.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Second of all, there's no reason why I shouldn't live to be 100.
Okay.
As long as I avoid the pitfalls that these people found themselves in. For instance, a 68-year-old woman found dead in the basement of her New York home by her devastated daughter, who told authorities that the lady's dogs may have eaten her mother.
Oh, God.
This is not how you want to go. And this is something for me and for other people to keep in mind, is don't put yourself in a situation where your dogs are going to eat you. Pay attention to that.
I mean, they didn't eat her when she was alive.
Well, this is the question. This is what they're going to have to determine now. Officers responded to a 911 call for an unconscious and unresponsive woman. They found the body of Daisy Bradshaw in her Staten Island home last Tuesday morning. She was bruised and pronounced dead at the scene. They are investigating now to determine whether she had died of natural causes and then the dogs attempted to eat her because they were just hungry, or if they attacked her and killed her.
Oh, God.
And I feel so bad for this lady's family, because the best case scenario here is that your mother died and then the dogs ate her body. That's the best case scenario, right?
Yes.
So I will keep this in mind, that I will not go where Daisy went. Here's a hoarder mom who did not realize that her son's corpse was in her house for more than 20 years. Picture that for a moment.
Nope.
This might be the first reported case of a hoarder being so hoardy that they didn't realize that there was a dead family member laying among the stacked garbage. It happened in Brooklyn. One hoarding elderly mother was questioned by police after a family member discovered a body lying on the floor in one of the bedrooms. The body had been there for 20 years.
No.
Now, the lady who lived in the house was actually in the hospital at the time. Another family member made a visit to the home to pick up a few belongings to bring to her in the hospital. And that's when she found another son, Lewis, who had been there for, no one had seen him for over 20 years. But the family members apparently weren't close. And the lady who went, the lady who went to the house and discovered the body just knew that Lewis had moved away and wasn't that concerned that she hadn't heard from him in over 20 years.
Come on.
And now we find out that he had been dead all that time.
BS.
They said the house looked like a garbage truck had dumped trash all over the place, which possibly covered up the smell of the decomposing corpse for years. Police questioned the mother of the corpse. She spoke about him as if he had just moved out, so it's possible she may not be mentally all there. So what do you think is going on there? Do you think she knew that her son had died and just was so hoardy that she decided to leave him? Or do you think she literally just wasn't aware of it?
Stop saying so hoardy. that's disturbing on so many levels. You know if someone's dead in a bedroom. It's Brooklyn. It's not like she's in a mansion.
Think so as well. But the fact that he'd been there for over 20 years, you think she just lived intentionally on purpose with her dead kid in the house all that time? Again, not good options available in either of these cases.
Hate this segment.
Here's Atlanta. A landlord showing his vacant rental home in southwest Atlanta this past Monday morning made a grisly discovery: the body of a man in an enclosed backyard patio. So he shows up, Salvador DeMoro shows up to show some prospective renters to his home that he owned on Quaker Street. And then they find a body there. Nobody was living in the house at the time. The guy didn't live there. They don't know why he was in the backyard, but he had been shot to death.
Oh, my.
By the way, the house number is 666.
Wow.
The landlord says, "I am not a superstitious person. I'm a religious guy. I'm a Catholic. I don't think that had anything to do with it." But Atlanta police are investigating who the man was and why he was found at that location in the first place and who shot him. There was a neighbor, by the way, who said she heard two shots around 11:30 p.m. Sunday night, but she thought it was just her cat knocking something over and she went back to sleep. It wasn't until the police arrived in the neighborhood the next day she learned someone had been shot to death.
I think he has to get rid of that listing, right?
If you're the people who showed up for that house,
No, you do not take it.
You just pass it, even if it's like a discount at that point.
Well, what kind of discount?
If they knock a little something off the rent, you might consider it, right? here's a story that's going to break hearts everywhere, and I apologize in advance if it makes you sad. But what should have been the bride's happiest day ended in tragedy when her father died moments after dancing with her at her wedding.
Oh, no.
Michelle, but he died, like, what did I say about Vin Scully? You want to go out doing something you love, right? Happiest time of his life, probably.
And then every anniversary, she's going to think, oh, remember when my dad died after our first dance? Which begs the question, what was the song?
What was the song? Right? And should the DJ be investigated, right? Michelle Howard married Luis Diego Granera on Saturday in Costa Rica. She had just finished the father-daughter dance with her dad, Tim Buchanan, when he suffered a fatal heart attack. A private funeral service was scheduled to be held Sunday in York County, South Carolina, where Buchanan was a longtime detective for the Sheriff's Department. That's mixed blessings there, I guess, right? Good news, bad news is what's happening there. A Dallas man caused a whole lot of drama at New York's Metropolitan Opera House on Saturday when he jumped up in the middle of a performance and sprinkled a suspicious powder-like mixture into the orchestra pit. Because I'm doing this story in Death Corner, yes, you've already figured it out. It was human ashes.
Oh, man.
Members of the orchestra noticed an individual in a suit who approached the orchestra pit, reached into a bag, removed a powdery substance, sprinkled that into the pit, moved further down, reached into the bag again, sprinkled more of the substance into the orchestra pit. And by the way, anywhere, but particularly in New York City, as conscious as we are of terrorist attacks, there's no way you think that that's not going to cause a panic, right?
Right. Last thing you think is, oh, that's his loved one.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're not thinking human ashes at the time. Those in attendance were evacuated without seeing the entire performance of the play, many of them demanding a refund. The man who sprinkled the ashes was identified to police by members of the audience. He did confide to the police that he was a man on a mission. He said he was there to sprinkle his ashes of a friend during the performance. Here's the most surprising part to me, and I guess I don't know what I would charge him with, but authorities say that the man may not face criminal charges since the substance turned out to be human ashes and not harmful. But I feel like there's got to be something you could charge this dude with. You can't just say that's A-okay, right?
Littering.
That's good, yeah. Maybe littering. Possibly littering.
Good one. This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Jerry Springer joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to include your phone calls with Kevin Bean's What's Good coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Be good to each other, America.
Right. It's pretty good.
That's how he signs off, Allie. What are you looking at me with that face?
Okay.
What's with that face?
I didn't know.
Be good to each other, America.
Really?
He says goodbye at the end of each episode.
Huh.
Or something like that, right?
That sounds enough. Right to me.
Yeah. Look forward to hearing Jerry.
I love him.
Let's talk. Wait a minute. Hold on.
How can
you love Jerry? Jerry's fine.
He's
show's entertaining. But
so much fun to talk to on the air. He's just a great guest. He's a super smart guy. He knows exactly what his show is. He doesn't make excuses for it. He says that it has no redeeming social value, and he's fine with that.
Right.
He's a street shooter.
Okay. Jerry.
Right?
Jerry. I mentioned last hour that Taylor Hawkins has his solo album coming out in a matter of days. November 11th will be the release of Coda. Taylor sings, plays just about every instrument on all the songs. It's only a 6-song mini LP, but still, great music. The first single is called Range Rover Bitch. We didn't have any time in the last hour to play any, but I wanted to correct that right now. Here's a little taste of the first single off of Taylor's solo album, Coda. It's called Range Rover Bitch. Rock and roll!
Right?
Hoochie-coo!
You guys remember that album that we had him on for a couple years ago? He had that band, The Birds of Satan, that was kind of rock stuff, too. It was real good.
Yeah.
He's just, he's way too talented to be just behind the drums, right?
Yeah, he's super talented, and can't wait to hear all the music.
When does it come out, did it say?
November 11th.
Nice.
Right around the corner.
Week from Friday. And you've seen him with Chevy Metal, too, Ralph. You know how great they are.
Yes, many times. He's very talented and just a really great guy, too. Everybody in Foos is Pat and Taylor and, of course, Dave and Chris. Everybody's just great. So they're the last best hope for rock and roll, I think, that band.
I think so, too.
They just are. Speaking of music, Capitol Records, once home of the Beatles and the Beach Boys and so many other artists for so many years, is 75 years old. I believe Capitol Records has been around for 75 years. Mm. To celebrate, they are releasing a deluxe photo album
essay book called 75 Years of Capitol Records. It'll be out around Christmas time. You can get it at capitalgoods.com. But if you're interested in the history of music and recording, be hard-pressed to find a record label that is a bigger role in some of the most important music of the past couple decades or so. So,
hope there's a chapter on Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band. Just as one example.
Sure, of the important music that's being done. And Lindsay Lohan in the news. You know, she's got a new nightclub that she just opened up in Greece. Why a nightclub? Well, first, she was going to be there anyway, so she might as well own the place, I guess. But also, she wants to take clubbing and turn it into a positive for change in the world. Take clubbing and make it a way to raise awareness on social issues and also perhaps raise money for important causes like refugees who are in need. She was interviewed at the opening of her nightclub. Here's the thing. Lindsay's gone bye-bye, and she now speaks in an accent. A new accent. An accent we've never heard before from anyone, ever, from any country.
Is this from her spending so much time in England? Is that what's happening?
Nope.
Oh.
It's not British at all.
It's not like the Madonna fake British accent.
It's not British.
Okay.
Nor is it Greek. Nor is it Russian.
All right.
Nor is it French. And yet it's all of those.
It's amazing.
It's about a three-minute interview with her at E! News that is mesmerizing. We don't have time for all of it, naturally, so here's about 30 seconds.
So our people are scared of refugees and everything in the world. There's a minimum, there's a line of where we can make happiness and to the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own? And make it a good purpose. Where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity.
That's right? Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Make a goodness into things. She's Borat or something.
She's not a native speaker.
Well, she's struggling to find the words in English.
She sounds like a Greek grandmother. Like, oh, because of the clubbing
we
and the...
make happiness with the light, and I'm coming to here to have for goodness of clubs. Like, what's wrong with you? You're an American.
This is the lady from Mean Girls, right?
Yes, that
one. The same one.
Freaky Friday.
Oh, my God. Could I hear that again, Chip? I'm sorry. I have to.
One more time.
So our people are scared of refugees and everything in the world. There's a minimum. There's a line of where we can make happiness and to the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own? And make it a good purpose. Where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity.
With the club, we can create charity for it.
She sounds African. Like African with English as a second language.
I think she sounds Slavic and sort of Russian and French also, too.
I think like
with
a Greek
the inflection.
Grandma.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
I told you. It's all.
It's Borat.
Not natural.
The Daily Mail interviewed her after that recording was released and said, what's going on with you with the new accent? Here's the update. Here's what she said to the Daily Mail in the UK. It's a mixture of most of the languages I can understand or am trying to learn.
What?
And they said, why did you decide to start speaking differently? And she said, je ne sais pas.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. So there you go. There's your answer. Hey, we got phone calls coming up next, don't we, Mr. Bean?
Yes, we are opening up lines right now for you on any topic for Kevin Bean's What's Good, 1-800-520-1067. If you got something on your mind, something you think we should be talking about but we're not, you got complaints, you got problems, you got issues, whatever it is, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next.
Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show? That's what I always say, right?
So don't let us down, listeners.
So we don't have to bear all of the responsibility.
We've had some good calls lately, though.
Yes, I agree.
I have to tell you, the listeners definitely are far more interesting than we are.
Today's celebrity birthdays, ring announcer Michael Buffer turns 72 years old today. Let's...
Nope. Don't do it. He'll sue.
David Schwimmer turns 50. And Nelly is 42 years old today. I'm
wrong. It's getting hot in here.
Hey, Nelly.
So take off all your clothes.
Oh, you're talented, Nelly. Must have been a lot of auto-tune or something in the recording, because that was live, and it did not sound good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of 21 Pilots, by the way, they are going to be releasing, just in time for Christmas, a triple live album.
What?
But on vinyl only, Ralph.
Hipsters.
Not for digital, not for CDs, just vinyl, triple live
album. I got to crank up the Victrola.
Apparently you do. So that's big news for some 21 Pilots fans, I guess. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, thanks so much for tuning in. We have time for your phone calls right now on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Tough times for Los Angeles Kings fans right now. How long is Jonathan Quick going to be out for, Allie?
About 3 months.
3 months,
yeah.
Or so. Well, we barely notice he's missing. Let's go to Jeff in Costa Mesa to get us going on this edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good. He's on line three. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just got back from the game last night, and I'm a Ducks fan. Awesome game.
Jeez, how bad was traffic? It was a great game.
It was a long night after that.
Okay. Sounds like it. You're just now pulling in.
No.
Yes. Good night to be a Ducks fan,
Quack.
I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty rough for the Kings fan. My uncle was nice enough to take me to the game. We had center ice seats. It was perfect. Unfortunately, he's a Kings fan. Funny thing was, last Friday, I took my nephew to the Ducks game, and they lost 4-0.
So, that is hilarious.
So sometimes teams win, sometimes they lose, is what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm saying if you're a fan, don't take your nephew to a game because they're going to lose 4-0.
Good advice. Mm-hmm. Screw
okay.
nephews.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
F nephews is
right.
what I heard.
That's right? A good takeaway. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the call. Appreciate
nephews.
That.
F news.
Right? Oh, really?
No.
Let's switch gears, Ralph. You'll be very excited. We're going to talk baseball.
For oh, good.
In Irvine, we got Brian.
Take
Look,
me out to the ball.
It's over.
Game.
Tonight. Tonight's the night. It's finally over.
Tonight's our sweet, sweet release.
Brian, share this big news with our listeners. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Brian?
Super excited. Cubs are going to win the World Series tonight.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they are.
You know this for certain.
I do.
Great. I'm going
Tell
to
us how.
Put down some money then.
Well, you know, last time, if you think back a few games ago when they played in Chicago, the first two games, they got shut down,
mm-hmm.
right? Game
mm-hmm.
two, they got shut down, didn't score. Game three, they didn't really score. But then they came back the next game and scored the next two games. This was
right.
actually before they played Cleveland, and
right.
they put up a ton of runs.
Uh-huh. Thanks for the update.
Right?
Thanks for the recap of the whole
Brian,
series.
Are you saying that if they score more runs, they will indeed win?
I'm saying they're going to score more runs because if you follow the pattern, that's kind of how it's been working in the playoffs.
Well,
look, here's the one thing you can say about the Cubs, and I think they even mentioned this on the broadcast last night, is they do tend to hit in spurts. In other words, a couple of players get hot, everybody gets hot. And if a couple of players
get
cold, everybody gets cold.
They get hot and then they spurt. That's what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
And right now, the bats seem to have been turned up to 11 because they scored a ton of runs last night. So, I mean, you got to feel pretty good with momentum going into tonight, but it's
Brian,
far from a guarantee.
Are you from Chicago?
I'm actually not from Chicago, but I'm a huge Cubs fan.
How did you get to be a Cubs fan?
Let's see. Long story, I'll make it short. My mom married a guy from Chicago when I was a little kid, when I was learning about sports. And so, you know, him being from Chicago is very
okay.
cool.
I'm sorry I asked. That one's
You're
on me.
You're the worst, Bean.
Yeah,
it's your fault.
I apologize.
You did
for that.
That.
I shouldn't have done that. I made a big mistake.
The only thing more boring than baseball is talking about baseball.
I apologize. That was totally on me.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to Rob. He's in New Jersey streaming the Kevin DeBean Show.
What was your first baseball card that you ever got in a collection?
Rob, welcome to the show, my friend.
Bad righty or lefty
how you doing?
When you play in the softball game at school.
What's good, Rob?
I wanted you to know Weird Al has a new show on the Disney Channel.
I just wanted to do that before being good.
And, Rob, you thought I wouldn't have heard about this in the last year that it's been news. Why?
Well, I didn't know if you were watching the Disney Channel.
Yeah, Look. Sorry, Bean, that Rob tried to do something nice for you. I think you should punish him by belittling him.
I'm not trying to punish him, but it's hardly breaking news. It's we've known about it for months and months and months, and I do follow Weird Al's activities pretty closely. That's all.
And I'm a voice on the show.
And Ally McKay is on the show, too, Rob.
Rob, I apologize for this tree, but you don't deserve this, man. You're listening to us in New Jersey. You're streaming the show. You're trying to do something nice. You call up, and you get dumped on by these two douchebags. I apologize.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
You got it.
All right, Rob. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it John. He's in Glendora. He's on line one. We had a conversation yesterday about ghosts. And, Ralph, I don't think you were fully convinced that any of these were actual ghosts. You thought there were other possible explanations.
No.
But I think John's got one that's going to turn you around. Welcome to the show, sir. What's good?
What I do, nephew and niece? Yeah, I was calling regards to the ghost stories you guys are talking about. I've got a 110-year-old craftsman home up a private road. With a 10-by-15 plate glass window in the front porch. I see this image going by constantly. It's like a little boy in a blue jean outfit. Kind of freaked me out. I got three daughters. I don't say anything to them until my other daughter sees it. 3 months later, this lady drives up and looks like she's lost. I asked her, can I help you? She goes, well, I was the original owner of the house. I'm like, oh. She goes, I got a book. Would you like to see pictures? I say, oh, my God, I'd love to. So he starts to be showing me photos. And on the front porch, I see this little boy in a blue jean outfit. I have this, oh, snap look on my face. And she's like, what's the matter? I said, I've seen this boy a million times running across my porch. And she starts bawling and saying, that was my son. He overdosed. This was his favorite place to play, and he overdosed on his medication because he was suffering from a depression.
Oh.
Crazy.
Okay. My first question is, how was she the original owner of the house if the house is 110 years old?
Well, she was just a kid that she was there. And her grandparents owned the house. She got the house from her grandparents.
Gotcha.
And raised her family there. Hmm.
So that is troubling and perplexing and difficult to explain.
It's the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, I had goosebumps when I saw the picture. And then she knew. She saw the look on my face and knew something was going on when I saw that picture.
Understandably. And, now, so are you afraid of this image now when you see it? Or are you a little bit more at peace knowing what it's about?
No, absolutely. I'm not afraid of it. I've had little things happen in the past before, especially in this home, because it's kind of a creepy home. I'm like in the base of the mountains and with no neighbors. And I basically sat down. I'm not crazy religious, but just told, you know, go find peace. After I found out who his mom was and everything, I said, go find peace. You know, you're scaring my after my oldest daughter found out, I said, you're scaring my family. Go find peace. Be with God. And since then, I've never seen the image ever again. Crazy
what do you
thing in the world.
What do you think? What do you think about this one, Ralph?
I'm in. That's for real. I changed my mind completely.
That one's pretty hard to explain.
Ghosts
away.
Are real, and John has seen one.
All right, John. Thanks for calling. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
Hey, quick reminder. Monday morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll roll out all the details for this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. It's I know it's November now, but it sounds weird to say we're going to be announcing Acoustic Christmas already, doesn't it?
It seems early, but I'll take it.
Like, where did the year go?
Oh, I think we know. It's been a long year, Bean.
Hey.
Come on.
I guess we are going to be happy to see this one go.
Yes.
Come to think of it. 2017 can't be here soon enough. Hey, we're getting Mr. Springer on the phone here. I'm very excited. Ralph wants to know why I love Jerry Springer so much. He's a super smart man who understands that his show is nonsense. That's what I love about him. And his show has been on, can you believe this, since September 20th, 1991.
No.
26 years of the Jerry Springer Show.
That's nuts.
Airing very very few programs last that long. Airing on KTLA Channel 5 at 12 noon. And Jerry's been coming on this program almost as long as he's had a show on television. And we couldn't be more excited to welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jerry Springer. Jerry!
Oh, guys, I'm talking with you again.
What's going on?
I've been talking with you guys since we started.
That's what I was just thinking. You know, our show came on the air a couple of years before you started in syndication on television. So we both go back a long way. And I'm frankly stunned that
91.
And we were the beginning in 90. I'm stunned that either of us are still on the air, to be frank, Jerry.
Well, thankfully, there's no accounting for taste.
Right, exactly.
That's our secret.
So these days, people come up to you all the time and they ask about the presidential campaign. I know they do because, A, the entire last year has seemed like a big episode of the Jerry Springer Show, and, B, because they know that you're a guy with his roots in politics. As a former mayor, as a guy who ran for governor, people are always asking for your opinion on this. You've never seen anything as crazy as this, right, Jerry?
No, I've never believed, as crazy as my show is, that anyone on our show should ever be president of the United States. So, you know, this is, you know, our show is crazy, but it's not, but that's what it is. I don't want to see the presidency be that. And, you know, the idea, this has nothing to do with liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican. You know, Donald Trump honestly has no business being president of the United States. And deep down, I don't care how angry you are about things, you kind of know that. A year ago, let's say before he announced, did anybody really believe if you could pick someone to be president of the United States that it should be a guy with a television show who's never, ever, ever, ever run any entity that is, that delivers social services? You know, he's never been in charge of any government.
Mm-hmm.
What does he know about it?
But you know that that's the appeal for some people. But you know that's the appeal for some people, right, Jerry? I mean, you of course, you understand that people are tired of the people we've been electing that have lots of experience, that are lifetime government employees, and people looked at it as a breath of fresh air to have some guy come in from the outside, right?
Well, that knows nothing about it? No. If I bring my child, God forbid, you bring your child into a hospital for surgery, you want to know that the surgeon at least went to medical school. I mean, this is ridiculous. If there are things that you aren't happy about, well, fine. Let's debate and argue about the policies. But to suggest that everything Washington does, everything our government does, everything our president does, everything America does is horrible, you know, they're not people. Everyone in the world is trying to come to America. We can't be such a bad place. You don't see people lining up trying to get into Syria. I mean, for God's sakes, this running down of America that is taking place now, like everything we've done is horrible, is terrible. Really? There could be things that are bad in your life for the moment, but stop believing that everything that we do is horrible or terrible. It just isn't. There are a lot of wonderful things that happen in this country. You know, travel around the world for a bit and then come back to America and see how bad things are here.
Let me ask you this, Jerry.
True.
Let me ask you this. Is democracy working the way it's supposed to be when the candidates for the major parties are both so deeply unpopular? Is that how it's supposed to work?
Well, the unpopularity is based on our media, pop culture, and social media, the idea that there's such technology that things get built up. I'll give a quick explanation, I think. It's probably started with Goldwater, but let's even say after, let's say with Reagan. When Ronald Reagan said, government can't solve problems, government is the problem, we have raised two generations of Americans to believe that anything government does is horrible, that government is terrible, disrespect the president, hate Washington. Every political commercial we ever see, both parties, is how the other guy's a bum, the other guy's corrupt, the other guy should be in jail. And you raise two generations of kids to believe that that's our government, and that's, well, of course, ultimately people are going to hate who's ever running for office. That's the culture we've built. But that doesn't mean it's reality. That doesn't, you know, to have someone running for president who is opposed to the idea of America, who is opposed, you know, if you ask people around the world what America is supposed to stand for, is that this is supposed to be the one place on earth where it doesn't matter what your religion is, what your ethnicity is, where you're from, who your parents were, what the color of your skin is, how you pray to God, that this is the one place on earth where you could be whatever you tried to be, and, you know, you have a chance of making it. And now all of a sudden, we have someone running for office who at least metaphorically wants to replace the Statue of Liberty, this thing which makes America special, different than any other country in the world, and replace the Statue of Liberty with a wall. What is that about?
Well, to be fair,
the whole idea of America was a fraud?
She's like a four, though,
that's
right?
That's right, to be fair. We could replace the Statue of Liberty with a statue that's much hotter, right, Jerry?
Yeah, thank you. Hey, you shouldn't get me on a rant here.
I know. Look, I know you're very passionate about this topic. I know politics is your first true love. I get that. You managed to keep that off of the show. After 26 years, are there things on the Jerry Springer show that can possibly surprise you, the host, anymore?
Not really. I guess the honest answer is you can't be a grown-up in today's world and really be shocked by anything anymore. Now, you could be surprised that it happens to someone you know. That could be surprising. But there's no circumstance that I could describe to you guys, and you would say, oh, I didn't know that happened in the world. I didn't know that could be. So, and with today's social media, honestly, is anything, what on television could possibly shock you after what you see on Facebook every day or, you know, YouTube or whatever. So, you know, it's almost disingenuous to say, oh, that television show, I can't believe it. You know, it's out there every day.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to end this interview because I know you have to go with a final thought, because I saw you say something the other day in an interview, Jerry, that I thought was really interesting, and especially coming from a guy like you who has seen so much over the years on your show, and that is, there's not that much difference between the people on your show and the people watching your show. Sometimes it's just circumstances, and a lot of what happens in your life has you have no control over. You're kind of born into it, right?
Yeah. My thought is that we're all the same. Some of us just dress better or had better luck in the gene pool of parents, and or were born with a better brain maybe or better health. You know, I could take Bill Gates, the most successful person, let's say, in America. If he were born in Ethiopia, he would have been dead at the age of 5. So in other words, 99% of what we are, we have nothing to do with. We didn't make the decision to be born, to whom we'd be born, in what country we'd be born, in what era, with what health, with what kind of brain, in what environment. That's all given to us. And then maybe the last 1% of what we are, it's based on our own efforts. But I think if we understand that and appreciate it,
that's right,
we wouldn't be so prejudicial.
We should appreciate how lucky we are. If we're lucky enough to be born in the right circumstances, we should appreciate how lucky that is, right, Jer?
We really should. We really should. Hey, I'm sorry I got serious. I didn't mean to.
It's fine. Glad to have you on. Channel 5, 12 o'clock noon every day, and it's 26th season, ladies and gentlemen. The Jerry Springer Show is still delivering every single day, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, Mr. Springer.
You guys are great. I love
Talk
you.
To you soon.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For having me.
You bet.
Bye.
Right?
Right.
Right. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got to be honest, it's been a while since I've been to school.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a problem with the teachers being too sexy? Because that's not my recollection of the teachers that I had growing up.
It wasn't mine either.
They were very old ladies that I seem to remember teaching. And maybe that's just because I was very young at the time. But I don't remember this being a problem. But apparently it is for some teachers. And apparently there is advice from a teacher that was posted on Facebook this week that has now gone viral. Allie, you want to read what this tip is for other teachers to keep in mind before they get in front of the classroom?
Here's one of the tips. When erasing a board, use vertical strokes. Your hips will show the least amount of movement. Horizontal strokes make your hips shake, which students may find humorous and thus distracting.
So, in other words, we're checking out the teacher's ass when she's up there.
Well, it's shaking.
It is shaking.
And it's making me not learn.
All right. I, again, wasn't aware that this was a problem. And is it really that much better if you erase the blackboard vertically?
Well, yeah, because if you're going up and down, your butt's not moving back and forth.
Oh,
I see. If you're erasing horizontally, your whole body's into it. Yeah, make it shake. This is the most insane thing ever.
Shake that ass.
Right.
The Facebook page is called ICT with Mr. P, Tech to Raise Standards. It's a terrible title. It is run by a Mr. Parkinson, who's a primary school teacher for more than 6 years, who apparently has tips on how teachers can keep things from getting too provocative in the classroom. And Mr. Parkinson joins us on K-Rock right now. Hello there, sir.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. So you are a primary school teacher for more than 6 years, it says here.
I am. I have been in education for many years and a primary school teacher for these past 6, yes.
And is this a problem that you're finding with your colleagues in school, where they have to worry about the attention of the classroom wandering based on what the teacher's doing?
Absolutely. The over-sexualization of the teaching industry is running rampant throughout primary schools, and we believe that it is upon the teacher to try to be as least distracting as possible, as least alluring as possible, because, let's face it, teachers are just damn sexy. And too many times, students, both male and female, are just incredibly aroused by the amazing sexual power of a teacher.
Just by erasing a blackboard?
Oh, yes, especially if you do it horizontally, mm-hmm. which makes you shake what your mama gave you.
Is that what it does?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And it's very distracting because I know personally when I used to erase things horizontally, it drove the girls crazy.
Did it now.
They could not stop staring at my lovely teacher lumps.
Huh. How about that?
Nope.
So this is just one tip that you have for teachers. There are others?
You can find all this at my site, ICT with Mr. P. I am down with ICT.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
You know me.
Yes.
I'm done with it.
Yes, I do.
To other teachers, I recommend the following. No longer ice your nipples before you go into the classroom.
Oh,
well, nobody's doing. Oh, who's doing that, sir?
So many teachers, male and female, will take two ice cubes and rub them all over their nipples and areolas before they enter the classroom.
That's
it's just very, very distracting for students. You can't put. You don't want to dangle that sort of red meat in front of a lion.
I just, that's true, but I just figured that maybe the air conditioning was a little low that day.
No,
but
it's all icy nips there.
Icy nips, all right, yes. Check, got it.
When you wear chaps, try to wear some pants or something underneath them. If you go without the proper something, your ass will be hanging out of the chaps, and it's just very distracting. So try not to wear just chaps.
Are assless chaps a problem?
Oh,
where you are?
God, yes, of course. Especially here in the UK, just with all the cowboys.
Yes!
Just
running around.
I went to the wrong school, Mr. Parkinson.
When you're using your body lotion, when you're slathering body lotion all over yourself, try to avoid the sparkly kind that strippers use.
Oh.
It's it catches the light and it's very distracting. You need to rub lotion all over your body and just make it something simple. Simple.
Not glitter-based.
Not glitter-based.
Okay.
Okay, that's probably good advice for teachers.
Like some Kerry.
It's so very.
Yes, it is indeed. And when you're eating a banana, don't try to take it in one bite.
Oh!
If you're having a banana for lunch, just eat it like a regular person. So many teachers try to eat the entire banana in one bite, and you can only imagine what the children think of them.
Yes, that's very distracting. Oh, you okay there?
What I just thought of right now.
Madness.
Right? Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. And then just after 8, we're going to talk to Ted Stryker. Afternoons here on K-Rock. That's the guy. I hope you two will have a conversation backwards-like.
Me too.
Backwards-like.
Because apparently Ted can really do it. Apparently he can really talk
that's the
backwards.
Real deal, Neil.
So we're going to find out what that's all about. Plus your stories from the ER next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to the red carpet premiere of a movie that's getting a ton of great buzz and critical acclaim? Looks to be awesome, too. It's called Arrival.
Yay!
Starring Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner and Forrest Whitaker. Amy plays a linguist who is recruited by the military to assist in translating alien communications. After they show up at their ships all over the world, she is asked to be able to translate what they're saying and what their intentions are here on the planet.
I love the premise of this movie because I want the aliens to come in my lifetime. One of my great fears in life is that I will die before the aliens arrive.
Right.
And I'm going to miss it. But one of the mysteries is going to be, how are we going to communicate with them?
Well, you have
that's
to get
it's a real issue.
It's got a really clever academic like Amy Adams plays. You have to find a cunning linguist, really.
Nope.
is what you need in order to communicate with the aliens. So if you'd like to go see the red carpet premiere of Arrival this Sunday at the Village Theater in Westwood, why don't you call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through with that particular phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere. The movie, if you don't win, is in theaters everywhere on November the 11th, so You won't have to wait too much longer.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Oh, that's sweet. Where are your brothers?
They're all dead now.
Oh, sorry I asked. Congratulations to Brad Garrett, friend of the show, Brad Garrett. He is officially engaged to his girlfriend, Isabel Cuela. They made their relationship official. He's, by the way, 56 years old. She's 32.
Oh.
So.
That sounds about right.
Sounds Hollywood about right math. For Hollywood, Hollywood numbers, right? And while we're talking about movies that are getting great buzz, this Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the new J.K. Rowling film, based from the universe that Harry Potter takes place in. It opens on November the 18th, but they've already started working on the sequel. And it looks like Johnny Depp will star in the sequel, according to Warner Brothers. He will be joining the Harry Potter world, and he seems like a good actor for that universe. Sort of offbeat, sort of crazy. I'm sure he'll come up with something interesting. Eddie Redmayne stars in this film called Newt, as a character named Newt Scamander. And word is, Depp appears briefly in this film to sort of set up his transition to the sequel.
Do you think that leaked or they wanted this out there? Because I feel like it would be more of a surprise seeing Johnny Depp in this one than they'd be like, we've got him for the second one.
How would they go again?
We've got them for the second one.
Why are they from the 1930s?
I am not sure. But I feel like it would have been more of an impact.
I think once they started doing the press screenings and the sneak screenings, that already got out. So
okay. They
figured we might as well get on top of this and announce that he is the star of our sequel and take advantage of that before it just starts getting diluted.
You were in movies with Johnny Depp cameos before it was cool, though, Ralph.
That's right. Depp and I worked together in Yoga Hosers and in Tusk. Mm-hmm. So, there. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Is anyone still smoking a pipe these days?
No, but my dad says that.
I see a lot of pipe smokers. Where are the pipe smokers in the house? I'm sorry, I'm just goofing. Hey, we talked about this before. This fascinating story of the battle over electricity and how we were going to use it.
Oh, I wish Kevin were here so he could once again refresh our memories on the story of Mr. Tesla.
Yeah, it's basically Tom Edison, who was all about the DC, mm-hmm. right? And George Westinghouse and Nikola Tesla, mm-hmm. who were all about the AC.
Right.
And Nikola Tesla, I'm trying to... Kevin, what was Nikola Tesla? What did he do? I can't remember.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile,
uh-huh.
and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment wow. with Kevin.
That happened.
Sweet spirit.
That really happened.
Really, Kevin?
Yes.
Really?
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 Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Anyway, they've announced the stars of the film. Benedict Cumberbatch will play Thomas Edison.
Perfect.
Okay.
Is he just in every movie all the time
he
now?
He should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Michael Shannon will play Westinghouse in the movie.
I like
all
it.
All right.
No word on Tesla.
Well, he's got to be younger because he's more recent.
Because he built the electric
yeah.
car not too long ago. Yeah.
What was the movie Ralph?
The movie Ralph? I don't even remember that. I don't think there was a movie called Ralph.
I shouldn't ask questions I don't know the answer to. What was the movie within the last few years where David Bowie played Nikola Tesla?
The Prestige.
Yeah, The Prestige.
The Prestige, that's right.
The magician movie.
Yeah.
I believe he was asking me, 11. Why don't you pipe down over there, have a waffle, and just keep your voice off the microphone until you're spoken to.
She did buzz in first,
she
though.
Sure so she sure did. I didn't even know we were playing Jeopardy.
Yes, the Prestige.
What is the Prestige, is Alex, for 500?
Right. Well, you do get it now because it was a form of question. Chip, you're out.
Ah, boom.
Sherry. Damn your rules.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Buffer, legendary ring announcer, is 72 years old today. So, let's go.
Don't do it.
Damn it.
So, he does the... Michael Buffer is the UFC one or the boxing one?
Boxing.
And then his brother is the UFC one.
His younger brother,
Steve
Buffer. George Buffer.
Bruce.
Bruce Buffer. That's
right.
It. Yeah. Is UFC. Dave Schwimmer. From Friends, of course. And most recently, the People versus O.J. Simpson, 50 years old today. Nelly is 42. And when I neglected to mention all morning long because Dave didn't put this on the list, but
Danny Amendola and Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
Yeah.
Our friend Fieldy from Korn. Fieldy celebrates his birthday today. He is 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, I know you're sad that the baseball season ends tonight, one way or another.
It breaks my heart.
It'd be tough for you to see it go. I know that.
I'm going to live without those 5-6 hour games where lots of time is taken to stretch.
They have seemed extra long.
Woo!
Well, they are. They do add more commercials for the postseason.
Oh, yeah, it's the commercials' fault.
And they're also putting in, like, 20 pitchers a game, too. So
but at least
a lot
it takes an hour to warm up before they throw that pitch when they come into the game. That one pitch.
Let's
not
get distracted.
Oh, dear God.
The reason I bring it up is to say, I just want to put this out there as a reminder that there is some good news today, because today is the day that you can go to the Taco Bell near you and get the free Doritos Locos, the free taco, because they had a promotion in the World Series where you steal a base, steal a taco, right? So Francisco Lindor stole that base in game one. So today's the day between 2 and 6. You can get a free taco from Taco Bell. All you have to do is stop by. So I just want to put that out there so people didn't forget.
Don't forget that.
Right?
Free taco. Free taco.
From game one?
From game one.
From game one.
They
right?
need to.
That has been your taco update. Thank you. And make sure to tune in next week for Taco Taco Thursday.
For folks who weren't with us yesterday, Ralph, bring us up to speed with the topic of the day.
It was just a weird party trick where I do an imitation of what it sounds like when someone is recorded. Their voice is recorded, and then they're played backwards. Mm-hmm. And I was just goofing around, and we found out that it freaks Allie out to the point where she has to sometimes hold her ears, and she can no longer listen.
What did she say? Her jawbone got cold or something?
She gives my jawbone the chills.
In her jawbone.
Like the old expression.
The thing.
That's right.
It's real.
So, you know, I go around now just to, on purpose just to wig her out by going, because it sounds like what someone sounds like when they talk backwards. But we found out yesterday that I'm not really saying anything, because we've taken that and we flipped it and we played it forwards, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's just like so many other things in your repertoire. It's just an impression.
Right. It's just an illusion of something as opposed to being real. But then we found out someone in our very own K-Rock family can actually talk backwards for realies.
And that was a surprise to us, because we only knew him as an excellent man on the radio and also guy with a tail. But we had no idea that he had this backwards speaking ability. And our friend Ted Stryker joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Good morning, Allie McKay, Ralph, and Bean. Yes, I have a tail and I can speak backwards.
So you are a direct descendant of Satan. That's what we're guessing, right? Because that's what they do down in hell. They talk backwards and they have tails.
I don't know if it's Satan, but all I know is in the mid-90s, I had two friends, and they had no friends, and all we did was play darts, figure out how to talk backwards, and work, and that was our life, and it was an addiction for me, it was ADD, and then I got out of the backwards game in the early 90s, and now you guys are bringing me back.
Sure. Well, you got out of the game when it got commercial, because you were backwards before it was cool.
It was a backwards hipster.
Yeah. So we're bringing you back into the backwards game. And what is the process for you, Stryker? How do you go about talking backwards?
Okay, so this is the process for me. And maybe other backwards people are different, but I have little rules. Pretty much anything that ends in a Y, I keep the Y there. So if someone's name is Rally, their name is if someone's name is Larry, their name is Rally. Jerry would be Reggie. Nomar, of course, is Ramon, which got me really going like crazy. And then, of course, Doctor is Rock Cod, and I used to love Dr. Pepper, so it would be Rock Cod Repep. But if you keep the ER in the end, instead of Dr. Rock Cod Repep, it would be Dr. Pepper still, which leads me to my favorite addiction medicine specialist, Rock Cod Word, who would be Dr. Drew.
What's happening
right now?
This is just...
I think I had a stroke.
This
what
is
happened
troubling.
Was, while I was living in Tucson, they filmed a fantastic movie there, and they said, hey, if you would like to be an extra on this movie, come on down. And I had never been on a movie set, so I went, and who was in this movie but somebody that I love named Nod Nosnodge. Nod, of course, is Don backwards, and Nosnodge is Johnson, so Nod Nosnodge. And every time I see a name, at least for years, I would hear the name, and I would just say it backwards. Damon is Nomad. I love the NBA basketball player who went to Arizona where I was living, Damon Stoudemire, Nomad Rhymadutes.
Wow. So you and your friends would just have conversations with one another speaking backwards? That was the game?
Well, it wasn't necessarily conversations. It was more about one or two words at a time, because doing an entire four, five, six words at a time is just is way more insane. But hearing some of these words just independently make us laugh, especially like, you know, Nasreddine Reepook, which is Anderson Cooper. I mean, Reepook is just funny to say.
It is a funny sounding word. Now, do you have to be looking at these words when you say them, Stryker? Do you read it, or do you just do it from memory, knowing how the words are spelled?
I do not look at the words at all. It is just totally from memory. So when I'm working on K-Rock and I hear Linkin Park, I know Linkin is Nick Nil and Park is crap. And I just thought, oh, Nick Nil crap, here we go. Oh, I love it. But I don't really talk about it all the time anymore.
Right. I can't see why not. I would never stop talking about it. Now, can we record you saying something backwards? Don't tell us what it is, and then we can flip it here in the studio and play it forwards and see if we can decode it.
Let's do it.
All right, hold on. We're going to give you a little beat, and then say, just give us something, a couple words backwards, and then we're going to flip it and take a listen. Go ahead.
Here we go. Reef Reeb Gum. Reef Reeb Gum.
All right, we got that. Now, Omar's going to take that, and he's going to flip it around. And we're gonna
when you hear that, Ralph, can you, in your mind, piece together what it might be?
Reed Fried Cum.
I think it's beer mug. Well, fire beer mug.
Oh, you think so?
That's maybe.
Exactly right.
Well, let's take a listen.
Mug me or fear.
One more time?
Mug me or fear.
That sounded the same backwards as it did backwards to me.
How about this one? Flar Namrag. Flar Namrag.
All right, can we flip that, Omar, and see what...
Flar Namrag.
Hold on, let's give him another... Do that one more time.
Flar Namrag.
Okay, we got that. Can Omar flip that for us? Okay, here we go.
Garmin Ralph.
It doesn't one more sound time? Like anything.
Garmin Ralph.
Garmin Ralph.
Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
Okay, here's one. Okay. Ela Yakum.
Well, that's going to be the girl, right?
That's the girl.
All right, let's see. Let's have Omar flip that around.
Makayali.
So you know McKay what I love? Ali. It sounds like Jive from Airplane.
Okay, Nivek Danan Neeb. This is an easy one. Nivek Danan Neeb.
Okay.
Do it again.
One more time, Stryker.
Nivek Danan Neeb.
All right, this is going to be us. This is going to be the show name,
we
right?
Got there. We're going to flip that around. Here we go.
Mean on the heaven.
Bean and Kevin. Kevin.
Wow. That's so, awesome. Stryker.
Yeah.
Did the little midget on Twin Peaks, is that what got you started down the backwards path, or was that just coincidental that came about also in the early 90s?
That just also came about because the early 90s. Actually, I've never even seen that, so that has zero inspiration on me.
Yeah, I think the dwarf stole it from Stryker.
That could be, yeah. Could be very well.
Yeah.
So you would say that this is a skill that you use to attract women or to repel women?
Bean, for a little bit there, it was an attraction because I got nothing to say to girls. They're not going to like me. So if you're like, hey, how about a rock cod repep? And then
sure.
Next thing you're like, oh, what are you talking about? And then you just start throwing some completely insane words backwards. And next thing you know, you have at least a little bit of a conversation. But once that dies down, then I got no game.
Yeah.
Everything that you say backwards sounds like a dirty sex move, though, mm-hmm. Doesn't it? That's what I've noticed, anyway.
I grab women in their rap cop repap whenever I want because I'm a star and I can do that.
That's right.
Like if a girl said, hey, my name is Stephanie, I'm like, ooh, you're Enifetz. Hey, Jennifer, Refinage. Katie, you're Tacky. Sarah, Harass. It was just like bam, 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 bam.
This is unbelievable.
I don't all think right. There was much bam.
Then he'd whip out the tail. Then he would whip out the tail, and that was right. The closer.
All right. All right, Ted, take us out with something backwards, please, and thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I just want to wish the best to a great artist out there who is going through something, going on in his head, and his name is Dick Cuddy, also known as Kid Cuddy, or you can say Dick Ducky. Adios.
All right, Dick Ducky.
Hey, Ralph, you did a story yesterday about the tragic stabbing in Times Square, New York City, of Cookie Monster.
Yes.
And that's going to be very tough for the kids to hear about if they didn't know already.
Yeah, it was in New York City at Times Square, mm-hmm. And there was a fight going on between a pilot and a Native American. Mm-hmm. And the pilot said, you wearing that Native American costume is insensitive. And so, to prove how sensitive I am, I'm going to whip out a knife and stab you, said the pilot. Now, Cookie Monster, being, you know, from Sesame Street, he's not familiar with the ways of the big city. He sure. Tried to get in between these two and to
hold
create
on.
Peace
oh, no.
And to separate the, you know, separate the two from fighting. And that's when the pilot plunged his knife into Cookie Monster's back, and Cookie had to make his way to the ER. And apparently his wound was not life-threatening, and he was released, and so Cookie's alive and well. But it was touch and go there for a moment. So I just couldn't help but wonder, what's it like for the ER doc that night when Cookie Monster comes strolling in with a knife hanging out of his bag and says, "Help me!" And then you have to, you know, give him a cookie and then take the knife out. Because
he was hospitalized with a lacerated spleen. Fortunately, his injuries are not life-threatening. But you're right. It would have been a bizarre night to be working at a New York City emergency room when Cookie Monster comes in. And I assume to transport him in the ambulance and put him in the hospital, I assume they take the head off, right?
Not if I'm the ambulance driver. I'm saying, how many times am I got a chance to take Cookie Monster to the ER?
Yeah.
You're rocking that helmet, sir.
So he's committing his character, I see.
Yes.
And then it got us started to thinking about the ER, which really is the craziest place on earth. You know, it's sad that Kevin's not here today. R.I.P. Kevin, by the way. He was a good dude. We're sorry he died. He used to tell us stories about times that he would have to go to the ER. Because you know Kevin is a guy who gets hurt a lot with the life that he leads. And every time he would go to the ER, he would have another story about somebody throwing feces or somebody screaming at the top of his lungs or a fight breaking out. It just seems like the ER is like one giant bus terminal. And the craziest stuff must happen in there. So we would like to invite ER doctors, ER nurses, or fellow ER patients or people who travel to the emergency room with patients. We want to hear your stories of the most bizarre things that you have seen in emergency rooms. When you're waiting to go into the emergency room or in the emergency room itself, what kinds of things have you seen?
Can I give
go ahead. Sorry, Ralph.
I was going to say, can I give you a quick story?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was working on a film, Kevin Smith's movie, Red State. It was a movie I did with him. It was about a group of fanatical religious zealots who turn out to be a murderous cult, right? And so we're filming a scene with a young actor named Nicholas Hoult, who's a very talented guy. And Nicholas Braun, I'm sorry. And we are filming a scene, and it's a gun battle, and I shoot him in the head, okay? And he backs up after getting shot and hits a series of shelving, and on top of the shelves is a large metal case, a prop, but it comes off the shelving and hits him in the head.
Oh, dear.
And that wasn't part of the scene.
It was not part of the scene. So we got the shot, but everybody was very concerned about Nick and his head, and we were afraid maybe he had a concussion. So to be on the safe side, they rushed him to the ER. So he walks into the ER with the help of two other people saying, "We got a problem here. Can you take a look at this guy?" And the nurse who's at the ER looks up. And what they didn't realize when they took Nick to the ER is that he still had a makeup bullet hole, wound in his forehead. He had a prosthetic bullet hole still set to his forehead with all the stage blood and everything else. So when he walked through the door, she looked up and said, "How is he still alive?" And we had to explain to her that it wasn't the actual bullet. It was getting hit on the head. And he checked
out. And you're the guy who shot him, too.
I think that poor woman, she's going to tell the story for the rest of her life about the guy who walked in on his own power with a bullet hole in his head.
That wasn't funny. 1-800-520-1067. We want to know what you've seen in the ER, because I've been lucky enough to not have to go to a lot of emergency rooms, but when I have, it really does look like the cantina on Mos Eisley, where it's just like you can't believe these things are real that you're seeing.
Yeah.
Let's take one call before the break, and let's make it our lady, April, calling from Orange. She's on line one, and she's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, April, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. You were in the ER, and what happened?
I work in the ER. I am a nurse in the ER. I work with an awesome team firsthand. Long story short, we had a guy coming from the shooting range, which is about 50 miles from the hospital, was trying to holster his gun, ended up shooting himself accidentally through the gut and out the left nut.
Oh, no.
And to top it off, him and his brother thought it was 911 was taking too long, so they decided to drive him to the hospital on their own. And he was wheeled in through the front.
And that's there's a lot of damage with a bullet going through the testes, right?
Yeah, he was actually okay. He wasn't that bad. We ended up transferring him to a trauma center. But, through the gut, out the nut.
The gut and the nut.
Through the gut, out the nut.
If that's me, I'm just putting a second bullet right in my head.
Another one, I've also had a bride coming in from her wedding reception on a stretcher because she was too drunk.
Charming.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, April, thank you for listening.
Doing the Lord's work, April.
Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. What have you seen in the ER? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Becky writes in, we had a guy come into the emergency room because he got a vibrator stuck in, well, you know. I got a frantic call from the guy's elderly mother wanting to know why he had been taken to the ER and if he was okay. Luckily, thanks to HIPAA laws, I didn't have to explain. I just said she'd have to ask him. Yeah. I imagine that was an awkward conversation. Have a good day, says Becky. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 on the things that you have seen in the emergency room, because it does seem like the craziest place with the craziest people at their worst are going to be all together at one place. So I've got some good stuff here. Why don't we start with blah, blah, blah. Let's start with Patrick in La Mirada, please. Line 4 to get us going. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's happening? What's up,
Patrick? ER, you tell us.
Yeah, this guy came in the ER once, and I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. I work in the ER, and this guy came in with a stabbing wound, and his injuries were not life-threatening, so we just treated him and put him in a corner. So 10 minutes after, another guy comes in with a stabbing wound, and so we treated him, and later this guy realizes that the guy next to him was the guy that he actually stabbed.
Oh, jeez.
Both got up and started going at each other.
Oh, my God.
There were security and cops around.
So they had been in a stabbing fight with each other and ended up on beds next to each other in the emergency room.
Correct. Correct.
Good times.
Yeah.
I would just start.
Any sharps around.
I'd just start making wagers and just see. Two men enter, one man leaves. You know, make a couple bucks.
That's the Democratic way. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Paul, line 2, please. He's in West Covina. Paul, your ER story. What happened?
Hi guys. I used to work. I work in the ER as an orderly, and this woman came in, desperate for pain meds, and trying to get her back into her room. She lifts up her gown to expose her stomach and starts ripping open her metal staples one by one.
Oh, God.
In other words, she wanted to create a scenario where she was so obviously in pain, you'd have to give her pain meds.
Exactly. But the craziest thing is that she had the straightest face you'll ever see, no pain on her face, just one by one ripping open her staples.
That's
a horror movie. That is.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd seen a lot, but even that was too much for you. That's crazy.
Oh,
all right.
I have stories for days, but.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Julie. She's in Glendora, line 7. Now, Julie, it sounds like maybe in this case you were the patient in the ER?
Yes, I was.
All right, what happened?
So I had a bad accident, so I had to, go. I was transported to county. And while I was waiting to be seen, I realized that I was sharing a room with a county inmate who was handcuffed to the plumbing of the hospital because he was trying to go around and steal supplies or get his hands on whatever he can. So I was in a room with a county inmate.
Oh, he was handcuffed. Stop being such a wuss.
Was it a love connection?
Yeah, was it hot?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was ready. I was ready, I guess, because I was already laying down on the bed. But the crazy part.
My goodness.
The craziest part is, I was transported by ambulance, so I guess they left my bag of possessions in, a brown bag. So the guy proceeds to ask me if I had any cigarettes in my bag.
Look, and I'm just making conversation. You can't blame the guy for trying,
that's
man.
That's jail talk. That's
just being friendly.
That's just chatting.
This
come
really
on.
Really happened. Yeah, so that's when I finally yelled and just started, just yelling for help so I can be removed from the room with this handcuffed guy.
What a little complainer you are.
Like,
all right,
you have
Julie.
A toothbrush with a sharpened handle in there?
What about
thank
the
you
toilet
for the call.
Wine times?
Let's go to Matt, line 8, please. He's Los Angeles calling now. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hi, how are you, Kevin and Bean?
Good, what's up?
So I was with my friend who's a doctor at county, and we were on our way to a football.
Whoop, we kind of lost you there. Try again, Matt.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah
go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was is a doctor.
Well,
at
that
county.
Is too bad that we're not going to be able to hear his story. Let's try Evan Fullerton, line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got time for a couple more ER stories. Evan, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. Long-time listener. Well, I guess the freaks come out at night. I was working as a night shift x-ray tech in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And we would always get all the emergency cases that happened coming through the night. I would have to take x-rays on patients that would need them. Well, we had this one guy come in, and he was just complaining of rectal pain with no specific causes or symptoms or anything. He said that his butt just hurt. So we're like, okay, well, there's only really one thing to do. So we took him to the x-ray room, and sure enough, we took a picture of his his area, there was a small vibrator logged in his butt.
Yeah. I wonder how he thought he was going to keep that secret.
Yeah, it seems like he could have helped you out by maybe just bringing that up at the start, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
No, not you. We're talking about him. When he came into when he came into the hospital, he should have said, "Oh, by the way, I got a vibrator in my butt. So could someone get that out for me? Thanks."
He was a soldier, so I mean, I was embarrassed by all these other peer soldiers that were there. So
stigma. Yeah.
He kept it a secret. We kept it a secret. We just laughed about it later.
He took "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" to a whole new level.
Exactly. HIPAA.
All right, Evan. Thank you. Let's do one more. Let's go overseas. Andrew in South Pasadena is on line 4. He's got a story about an emergency room in China.
Oh, I thought you meant South Pass was overseas.
No. Yes. China. He's in China. What happens over there? What are the ERs like over there?
They're pretty nutty. I was there for 10 years and saw a lot of crazy things. Fireworks in the ER when a baby's born,
sure.
Stuff like that.
So, celebrate. Normal.
Yeah, exactly. It's normal. But I was out with a couple of friends of mine and had a situation, and he got a bottle broken over his head, and it was bleeding pretty bad. So I took him to the ER. And we got in there, and it was like 3 in the morning, and took a little time, but they put us into a room, into the ER room, operating room, and they laid him down on a bed, and his face is like down like one of those massage tables, so he just sees the floor.
Right.
And they had me in the room as well, because they didn't have enough people. The doctor comes in there, he's smoking a cigarette, just stinking like alcohol, and the nurse is in there, and they're having me hold some stuff around to try to help them, blood and all that.
Wait, they're having you assist in the treatment of the patient?
Oh, yeah. Because there's only the doctor, the nurse, and then me. They didn't have enough people there because, in the morning. And, hospitals a lot of times just close in China at night. And, you're just done. But my buddy's laying there, and he's like, who's not wearing any shoes? Because he can just see the feet. And I looked down, and the nurse is in bare feet down below.
This sounds like my kind of hospital.
This is a mess.
Drinking, smoking, chicks walking around barefoot. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I think you got nothing to complain about, Andrew. Thanks for the call, man.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
Showbiz beat time. Here's Ralph Garman now on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Bean, once again, has proven he's got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah?
We mocked, but apparently everyone's talking about the free taco. Everyone's talking about your free taco from Taco Bell.
People love free food, man.
You steal a base, you steal a taco.
Okay.
Not only Bean brought it up today, but another prestigious gentleman also brought it up today. Our president of these United States, at least for the next couple weeks.
He's showing for Taco Bell now?
Barack Obama. He wants you to get out there and vote. If you can get out there to get your free taco, you can get out there to vote, right?
You would think.
Let's hear what he has to say.
If you can find the time to go to Taco Bell, you can find the time to go to iwillvote.com, find your nearest early voting location, and cast your ballot. You can vote right now. You can vote and then go get your taco.
Said it's like a combo meal. You get something good for your soul, and then get something good for your appetite. What is he doing commercials for Taco Bell? Taco Bell responded to the president the way we all have for many years. Thanks, Obama. So, there you go.
I had about probably 8 Taco Bell tacos.
Did you, Mugs?
I could crush a little bit more. How many tacos can you crush from Taco Bell?
Oh. I don't know, but can I crush?
Didn't know it was a
competition. Can I just eat them? Do I have to crush them? Totes crushage. He's the best, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Taco Bell. Let alone! Can't get enough of this. I keep listening to it in the other room. I thought maybe you'd like to hear it again, too. We did a story earlier today about her brand new nightclub in Greece. She has opened up her own nightclub called Lohan. And you go there and you party, but you party for a cause. Because apparently, and I'm not sure how it's going to work, because she hasn't really said whether she's given some money from the proceeds of the nightclub, going to charity, or she's going to use the nightclub to spotlight social issues. But she did an interview with reporters in Athens talking about her new club and there in Greece and what she would like to do with it. And everyone couldn't help but notice as she was talking that she lost her ability to speak English, that she has adopted some new sort of Euro trash accent that no one can quite pin down, But we know she doesn't sound like she comes from the States anymore. Here's Lindsay Lohan's interview.
So where people are scared of refugees and everything in the world, there's a minimum, there's a line of where we can make happiness and to the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own? And make it a good purpose. Where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity.
We can make happiness and do good things for in the club. Everyone can have a good time and also have the light of the day.
We know his accent is phony,
right?
But we don't care.
We don't.
It's insane.
I think you're winning me over to French. I'm starting to hear more French now as I hear it again.
Yeah, it's a little Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, a little bit.
I did not want to do this because I am afraid that here in this country with all the clubbing.
A little French thing going on. But she was never in France. She was in Russia. She was in Greece. She was in England. She never lived in France. Oh, Lindsay.
I mean, she's been American her whole life, right?
Yeah.
Born in America, lived in America.
Yes.
And until recently, she lived in America her whole life.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense.
What up?
All right, so let me ask you guys this question. Mm-hmm. Is she doing it on purpose?
Of course she is. She said as much.
Just something that happened.
The Daily Mail came to her after that interview was available online, and they said, Lindsay, what's up with the new accent? And she said, it's a mixture of most of the languages I can understand or am trying to learn, she explained. Then they asked her, why have you decided to start speaking differently? She responded, je ne sais pas.
Nope.
Yep.
All right.
That's what she said.
So this is the latest in a long line of Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Lindsay breakdowns.
And other people who have decided that that's the way to be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But at least Madonna moved to England, right? Wasn't she living in England when she started speaking with that accent?
Yeah.
So she may have been.
Sometimes it happens. You get influenced.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I spent time in Ireland, the next thing you know, you start talking like this to people. And then, you find yourself like, why am I doing this? I'm not even from here, and yet I can't help but pick it up. So, I mean, I can see that if you're there, but I don't understand where
it doesn't make any sense.
This weird amalgamation, this sort of amorphous Euro accent she's come up with. It's very fascinating to me. And it's fine to have an accent, but why can't she find English words anymore?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I want to make happiness. What is that? That's not even a thing.
It doesn't make sense. In the club,
play it again.
So where people are scared of refugees and everything in the world, there's a minimum, there's a line of where we can make happiness and to the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own? And make it a good purpose. Where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity.
Can create charity. That's not English.
Sounds like a terrorist situation.
It does. She's kevening.
Excuse me, sir. I can't seem to understand your accent.
Yeah, Lindsay's kevening. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fieldy from Korn celebrates his 47th birthday today. David Schwimmer turns 50. Ring announcer Michael Buffer turns 72. And rapper Nelly is 42.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh, still got it, man. Still got it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys see the family that hooked up their Halloween lights? I think they were Halloween lights, maybe Christmas lights, to that song from Fits in the Tantrums?
No.
And they flash along with the beat. It's awesome. It's pretty cool.
Where can I see that?
I think Kat Corbett posted it yesterday on her social media if you want to check it out.
Love Kat Corbett.
And I love Fits in the Tantrums, too. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. It's 9:37. Ralph has the showbiz beat one more time before we say goodbye.
Just can't get over it. Just doing more research, digging
still
deeper,
Lindsay?
going down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I'm just all about Lindsay today. Because Lindsay is now speaking in a new accent that she has created.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is saying, why?
She's our new favorite foreigner.
She, if you didn't hear it, we're going to talk about it again because I can't get enough. I can't stop digging. She has opened her own nightclub in Athens, Greece. It is a nightclub named Loen. And she did some press for the opening. And everyone noticed while she was in the interview that she started to speak in a bizarre accent that no one could understand. Well, they could understand it, but they couldn't understand why she was using it. And here she is talking about her nightclub and how it's going to be a force for good by raising, for making happiness and making charity. Here she is trying to struggle with the English language, of which she's spoken her whole life, with her new accent.
So our people are scared of refugees and everything in the world. There's a minimum, there's a line of where we can make happiness and show the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own? And make it a good purpose. Where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity.
With the club, we can create charity. Yeah, man. It's almost it's Jamaican with French, with sort of Persian and
Borat.
Russian. It's just a cluster F of accents. So the UK paper, the Daily Mail, got a hold of her and said, hey, what's up? Here's what she said, the reason behind speaking in her new accent. It's a mixture of most of the languages I can understand or I'm trying to learn. She said.
Now, does she mean by that she's doing it on purpose, or it's just because she's spending so much time learning other languages that it's just creeping into her day-to-day English?
It's because she's so worldly and so multilingual that she can't help herself. She continues, I've been learning different languages since I was a child. I'm fluent in English and French, can understand Russian, and I'm learning Turkish, Italian, and Arabic. So now we know.
At least the influence.
The accent salad that is coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
They asked her, why are you talking like that? And she said, I don't care what people think about how I talk. Nothing really shocks me these days. I moved to London 4 years ago, and the taxes seem to be getting higher.
What?
Exactly.
I'm not sure I follow the connection.
There is none.
Wait, read that again.
They asked her, what do you think about people's reaction to your accent? She told the Daily Mail, she doesn't care what people think. Nothing really shocks me these days, she said. I moved to London 4 years ago, and the taxes seem to be getting higher.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
Oh, no.
The Daily Mail said, what do you call that accent? And she said she wants to let people decide on a name for the accent, because apparently accents need names. And she followed up with her own suggestion on Twitter. This is her latest tweet. At Daily Mail UK, what should I call my new accent? I'm thinking hashtag Lilloan.
Nope.
It's a Lilloan accent.
Oh. No.
So now we know, if you ever hear anyone speak like that, she is speaking with a Lilloan accent.
You?
It's Lilloan.
Did Rodney just cuss?
I think he did.
You?
Oh, come on, Rodney. We can't use those words in the morning. You're used to that potty mouth show you do late at night.
Yeah, he can do anything he wants after midnight.
Jeez. We have responsibilities to our sponsors.
Hmm.
We still have sponsors, don't we?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Rat's leaving a sinking ship. Speaking of the ladies, how about this latest list from Forbes magazine, which, as you know, I've long believed exists only now to publish lists about how much money celebrities are making.
Uh-huh.
Used to be a big business magazine, right, Forbes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a series of lists. They have released today the list of the top earning women in music for the past year.
Is.
Top earning women in music.
All right.
Now, Bean, I'm sure you have seen this list already, so we may have to exclude
I
you.
Actually have not.
What?
I have not.
Wow, he lied.
But I do, some names certainly do come to mind when you
Would
start
you like
talking
to play the game?
Yes.
Let's play the game of the top 10 women in music and how much they've earned, okay?
Lady Gaga!
Lady she Gaga,
there, yeah.
Not in the top 10.
Oh.
Right?
That's
shocking.
That is shocking.
Shocking. No Lady Gaga.
Beyonce.
It's Kat.
Kat is not on the list either.
Pop star Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is on the list. She is number one on the list.
Yeah.
And she will make you vomit with the amount of money she made this year.
This year.
This calendar year.
Whatever
of 2016,
it is, she earned it.
She did not earn it. She should choke on it.
How much?
$170 million.
In 1 year.
Over the past year.
Well, that's stadium tours, you guys. I mean, the money adds up pretty fast when you're selling 50,000 seats a night.
It's not just touring. It is endorsement deals with Apple, Keds, mm-hmm. and Diet Coke.
Oh, wow.
That pushed her over the top into number one this year. That's repulsive.
That's obscene.
That's well, awful. It's a lot of money.
It's disgusting. And she smells so bad. You can just tell she smells awful. She's a racist, first of all. We know that to be true.
We know that.
And a farter.
Yep.
And she smells... Oh, what did that guy on the radio say she smelled like?
Imagine how bad she smells, man.
Yeah.
Sulfur. Smells like donkey ass.
And that guy, too. All right, so she's number one. We got that one off our chest.
Beyonce?
Beyonce, fifth on the list.
Okay.
$54 million. So that means Taylor Swift made more than three times Beyonce made this year.
Wow.
That ain't right. That ain't not right.
How about, let's go old school. How about Madonna?
Let's go old school, shall we? Hard to believe. I think of Madonna as being barely relevant.
Yeah.
On the music scene today.
Right.
Third on the list.
Wow.
$76.5 million is what she earned this year.
How?
Touring. Her heart, her Rebel Heart tour brought in over $170 million.
Okay. Fashion, The Voice, and a new album, Gwen Stefani.
Not on the list.
What?
Ow. First of all. And secondly, yes, not on the list.
Eagle Eye Cherry?
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Thank you,
also
Kevin.
Not on the list, Kevin.
Peggy Lynn Noonan.
I hope she's on the list.
Peggy Noonan, just outside the top 10 of the 40.
Better Than Ezra.
Better Than Ezra is, best of my knowledge, not a female musical artist.
Fan Bing Bing.
And Bing Bing, actress, not musician, but thanks
Mr.
for coming.
Mr. Daffy Duck.
No, not a woman, not a musical artist, not a person.
Demi Lovato.
We're getting closer. She is a woman.
Okay.
And she is a musical artist, but she is not in the top 10 list. I'm sorry.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande also not on the list.
Adele does he?
No. Well, halfway. Adele.
Oh.
Adele. Okay.
Adele. Second on the list.
Allie, how did you not think of Adele?
You should be banned.
Because you know what it is? I'm thinking really greedy, awful people making a ton of money. I don't think of Adele like that.
You just forgot your best friend.
I totally did.
You guys used to be close.
Adele made $80.5 million this year, making her second.
Deserved. Well deserved.
But almost still $100 million behind Taylor Swift, by the way. Just keep that in mind.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
These nuts not here. Amy Winehouse also not here.
Okay, this may be weird, but she did do a lot of concerts. Barbara Streisand.
No.
Okay. Cher.
Come on, you guys are missing some big names here.
All right.
Big names.
Who are missing?
Get real. Get serious. Put your little voice, your little sound bites down and play the game.
All right.
Sorry.
Get real.
Okay.
Show
Sarah
up.
Abramson.
Oh, man, I'm going to take somebody out.
How about Britney Spears with
Britney
the Las
Spears,
Vegas Spears,
eighth on the list. She made $30.5 million this year.
Wow.
J-Lo.
Jennifer Lopez made $39.5 million, making her number seven on the list. Allie, well done.
All right.
How about Katy Perry?
Katy Perry sixth on the list with $41 million this year.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, what have we left out?
Only three left. Number four you don't have, number nine and number 10 you're still missing.
All right, I'm going to, this is from Christine, assistant producer in the other room. I think it's a good guess, and I'm going to say it.
And all right, good.
Carrie Underwood.
Not on the list.
Oh.
Not a good guess. Shut up, Christine.
How about, also speaking of Las Vegas, how about Miss Celine Dion?
Celine Dion, 10th on the list.
Are we missing number four?
$27 million for Celine Dion. I'll give you number nine because you'll never get her. Just a little hair, just a half a mil more than Celine at number nine. Shania Twain was on the list.
With 20, I didn't know she does anything.
$27.5 million.
Honestly, what was the last time you heard of Shania Twain doing anything?
I hear you. She must have been touring someplace. Number four, though. You're going to kick yourself when I give you a number four.
Not Kelly Clarkson.
How about Kelly Clarkson?
Not Kelly Clarkson. No.
Muggs wants to say, how about Jennifer Hudson?
Jennifer Hudson?
Terrible guess.
Why would you even repeat that, Bean? Why would you put that in the conversation?
Because
number four is the only one left. You think Jennifer Hudson made somewhere between Madonna and Beyonce when it came to her annual earnings?
Look, I was just trying to shut him up.
This?
He wrote it like 800 times.
You know how you can not shut him up? How you shut him up? By not saying what he said.
Okay. All right. We give up.
A hint. I want a hint.
You want a hint?
Give me a hint.
Count Smokey Love.
Nope.
I'll give you a hint.
Reggae? Rihanna.
Rihanna!
Rihanna!
Chip got it. Yeah.
Oh.
41. excuse me, she's fourth on the list with $75 million this year.
Wow.
$75 million. Whew, thought we'd never get through that.
That is quite a list.
That was good.
Jennifer Hudson?
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Well, where are your brothers?
They're all dead now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dorothy!
I realize. I gotta stop following up with that question, I think.
It just gets sadder, doesn't it?
It really does. Ring announcer Michael Buffer kicks off our celebrity birthdays today on November 2nd. He is 72 years old. Actor David Schwimmer turns 50. And rapper Nelly turns 42.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Yeah. Also, Fieldy from Korn celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garman. Thank you, Ms. McKay. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. We are coming back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow. Still no Kevin, by the way.
What?
But we do have our regular Thursday visits from Dr. Drupinski, and boy, is Allie going to yell at him tomorrow.
What did he do now?
It's not what he did. It's what all men did. And she's going to take it out on Drew tomorrow.
Unreal.
Yes. So you have to save that for tomorrow. Save that for tomorrow.
And we'll hashtag all men.
We'll also talk World Series Game 7 and more in the world of sports with our friend Jim Rome like we do. That's tomorrow right here on the world famous K-Rock.